Jesus saying to his disciples says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father, your heavenly Father, feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. We are in the season of Lent, and this Lent, we are going to be following God's command to listen to Jesus. During the story of the Transfiguration, God's voice assured the disciples that Jesus was and is God's beloved. Son. And God, after giving that assurance to the disciples, God added a command. God told the disciples to listen. Listen to Jesus. So for the next few weeks, we'll be listening to some of Jesus' instructions in the Gospels. And in particular, as it is Lent, a time when we're often encouraged to fast or to give something up to help us deepen our relationship to God, we'll be looking at passages where Jesus tells us to give something up in order to help us follow Jesus. So we begin with Jesus' command to his disciples to give up their worrying about food and clothing. After the Transfiguration, after that mountaintop experience with Jesus on the Mountain of Transfiguration, Jesus and his disciples were now headed on a new journey. They were headed towards Jerusalem. And with the prospect of this journey before the disciples had some legitimate questions and concerns. Most people in their society were poor, and many of the disciples would have been the kind of people who would have had to work hard every day just to earn enough food, to keep food on the table and clothing on their backs. So far, in their following Jesus for the disciples had meant staying close enough to their homes. They had been traveling with Jesus in the towns and villages around Galilee. They were still close enough to their farms, to their fishing nets, to their families, where if they did get hungry or in need of clothing, they could get what they stood in need of. But now, Jesus was telling them that it was time to head far away from home. They were going to be headed on the long road towards Jerusalem, the big city. It was a place where few of the disciples, poor fishermen and tenant farmers, a place where few of them would have had any connections at all. And so the disciples had understandable concerns and worries. They wondered, how will we provide for ourselves on this trip to Jerusalem? We can imagine the discussion that would have unfolded between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus says, "We're headed to Jerusalem." And his disciples would have looked around and they would have said, "Okay, so how exactly will this work, Jesus? When we get down there, where are we going to be staying? Should we bring backpacks so that we can pack enough food for the journey? Also, Jesus, it's a long walk. We all wear sandals. What happens if one of our shoes breaks? How are we going to repair it?" Also, our clothes are going to get rather dirty on this journey. How are we going to handle laundry care? How would this trip to Jerusalem work? If you ask me, I think that these are completely understandable and legitimate questions. The disciples are not fools. They know about the basic needs of life. They know that to follow Jesus, they will need food in their stomachs, and they will need shoes on their feet in order to follow his leading and his guiding. So when Jesus says, we're headed to Jerusalem, they wonder, how will this work? And in response, Jesus calls them to trust God. Jesus calls them to trust that God will provide for their needs for food and clothing. Jesus encourages them to believe that if they follow God's call for their lives, their needs will indeed be met. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God had told the disciples to listen to Jesus. And as we read through the rest of the gospel story and into the book of Acts, which continues the disciples' story, what is wonderful and amazing to see is that Jesus' words and his predictions about not needing to worry about food and clothing, those predictions bear out. As the disciples serve God, as their service unfolds, Jesus' predictions bear out. Before they head out to Jerusalem, Jesus gives the disciples a little test ministry run. Jesus sends the disciples out to the towns and villages along the way to Jerusalem. And he sends them out two by two, and he tells them, take nothing with you. No extra food, no purses, no wallets, no money to buy food or to pay for lodging. Don't bring a backpack, no extra shirt, no extra coat. The instructions that Jesus gives to the disciples are essentially to go out with nothing but the good news and the power of God, and to rely on the generosity of those who would take them in and give them hospitality. And amazingly, this situation works out for the disciples. When they come back to Jesus after this test run, we don't hear any complaints about the disciples for being hungry or naked. Instead, they report to Jesus that in his name and with the power of the Holy Spirit, they're actually able to bless people and transform people's lives, and then Jesus and the disciples celebrate together. Then, as we read in the Gospels, Jesus and his disciples actually take off and head to Jerusalem. And again, in the narrative, we see that Jesus is right, that they would not need to worry about food and clothing. They made their way towards Jerusalem. Their needs were met. Jesus and the apostles are depicted as being hosted by people who had enough to host them and care for their needs. As they made it close to Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethany, which is just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And there at Bethany, we're told that a household that included Mary and Martha is depicted as hosting and supporting Jesus and his disciples. They needed a place to stay. They needed food. They needed laundry services, and Mary and Martha supplied their needs. Mary and Martha must have been of considerable wealth. Jesus, we know, had 12 close disciples, but the Gospels imply that he had a whole bunch of other followers that traveled with him as well. Even if Jesus was only traveling with himself and the 12, imagine taking in 13 grown men and providing them with food and laundry and places to stay. That would be like, it's the trading deadline for hockey, right? So Chip and I have been keeping track of like what hockey teams are doing what with their players, right? The Red Wings just traded one of their best players to Boston. Boston doesn't need that guy. What were they thinking, right? Imagine your favorite hockey team. Imagine the New Jersey Devils were traveling to Philadelphia and their bus broke down here in Montgomery, and you came forward and said, I'll take you guys, come over to my house, right? That's what Mary and Martha were doing. And so they must have been of considerable wealth to have enough space and food and services to care for Jesus and their needs, and the disciples and their needs. This provision of the disciples' needs continued after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension as well. Before his ascension, Jesus gave the disciples further instructions. Continue to do God's work. Here's what you should do. And the disciples continued to need to rely upon God for their essential needs. In the book of Acts, we hear that some who came to believe in Jesus and owned property, some sold what they had and gave the proceeds to the apostles and to the early church there in Jerusalem. That money funded the apostles' ministry, which included a ministry of providing food and care for the poor, for widows, and for those who had nothing for themselves. Peter, James, and John are depicted as staying in Jerusalem and helping to manage those ministries. But other apostles like Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Apollos and Prisca and Aquila, they were called by God to travel all over the known world, following God's call to each of them to travel and to spread the good news and to create new communities in the Jesus movement. And yet again, we see and hear throughout the book of Acts that people stood up and reached out to support those servants of Christ. All along the way, people opened their homes and their wallets and their purses to provide what the apostles would need. Jesus told the disciples that they would not have to worry about food and clothing. We hear that command and we think it sounds kind of crazy. Jesus tells them that he is going to take them far from their homes. He is going to take them far away from their regular means of providing for themselves. But Jesus also assures them that as they follow God's calling for their lives, as they put faithfully one foot in front of the other in the service that God is calling them to do, Jesus promises them that God will provide. The same God who provides for the birds of the air and who has so richly dressed the local meadows, this same God would provide for the disciples. And the amazing thing is that sure enough, Jesus' calling to not worry, we can see in the text and the stories of Scripture that Jesus' calling to not worry, it is borne out in the experience of the disciples. At every step along the way, God provides the food and the clothing, the shelter, the needs that they would need. They had legitimate questions. They had legitimate questions in the face of the calling that Jesus was giving them. Jesus said, we're headed to Jerusalem, and they imagined the road and the place and the gates of that city and the unfamiliar streets of that place. And they said to Jesus, how exactly is this going to work? Please give us more details. And Jesus said, some of those details you'll have to leave in God's hands. You'll have to trust God to provide what you will need. My friends, God, of course, has a wonderful and a challenging message for us in this story from the Gospels and from Jesus' words. This is the nature of the life of faith. This is the nature of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. This is what it means to be a servant in God's kingdom. Jesus came and he came to gather us into God's kingdom. Jesus came and he came to help overcome the challenges that were keeping us out of God's kingdom. Jesus came to heal us, to forgive us, to relieve us of the burdens that were holding us down. Jesus came to restore our glory so that we could take our place in God's kingdom. Jesus came to equip us, enable us to serve in that kingdom. And in our callings of faith, in our calling to serve God in the world, this is how faith works. God gives us a calling, God says, here is how I need you to serve my purposes in this season, in this chapter of your life. This is the journey I need you to take. This is the calling I need you to respond to. And our response is to look and to say, okay, I see the path. I see where I'm headed. I understand, God, what you are saying, but I have a few questions. What will I be eating? Where will I be staying? How will I provide for this and for that? And this is the nature of faith, that often God's response is to say, trust and believe. Trust and believe. It's a challenging calling. It's a challenging calling. The message of the Gospels is to trust and to believe. Now, not all of us are called to trust and believe that God will provide us with food and with housing and with clothing, right? Jesus' calling to the disciples was to say, don't worry about food and clothing. God will take care of those things. God's calling to Mary and Martha was to care about food and clothing and housing, not only for themselves, but for the apostles and for those whom God would bring into their household. We could imagine Mary and Martha saying, you're going to send me who? How many will there be? How hungry will they be? Do I have enough? And God would have said, trust that there will be enough. For Peter and James and John, God said, stay here in Jerusalem, and we're going to start a new ministry of caring for the poor and caring for the widows. And Peter, James, and John would have said, how is that going to work? Where will we get the funding? And God said, trust. Trust and believe that it will work out. For Paul, for Silas, for Barnabas, for Timothy, for Apollos, God said, I'm going to send you all over the world. And they said, how is that going to work? And God said, trust and believe. My friends, each and every one of us, at every chapter of our lives, have a set of callings, a set of challenges, a set of opportunities that God puts before us and says, here is the way that I need you to serve. And the nature of being a disciple of Christ is that God gives us what we need. God gives us the details that we need in order to put one foot in front of the other. And God asks us to trust and to believe. So let us, my friends, listen to Jesus in this season of Lent. Let us, through our spiritual practices of prayer and study, through our conversations with one another, let us help one another to hear Jesus' call, to strive for the kingdom of God, to participate in the good work that God is doing in this world. And may God bless us with all that we need. Thanks be to God. Amen.